You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Hey, yo, ambitious, the go-getters that handle business, the up and rising, this is
30-30 and thriving.
The motivation, the dedication, the inspiration, this is
30-30 and thriving.
Making her own moves, making her own rules. This is
30-30 and thriving.
Yeah, a little sexy, cool with Amber Broom. This is
30-30 and thriving.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 7 of 30-30 and thriving. Today's episode is all about social norms and etiquette, and I have a special guest with me by the name of Marina, and I'm so excited because she was actually supposed to be my co-host for this entire podcast, and I'm putting her on blast right now because this is at least the second or third time she's kind of hold me and left me hanging on something.
Third or fourth time for the podcast?
No, just in general, in life.
That's a lie.
No, it's not. Don't make me.
Okay.
Name dates and times.
I will literally make you name dates and times.
Okay, so anyway, today's episode, we used to have, so to give you guys a little bit of backstory, we used to work together, and we would always have these random side conversations about, you know, different things that I always find really interesting. And one of the conversations we had was like on social norms and things that we do today. And it's like, why the hell do we still do these? And what is the purpose and what is considered like acceptable or not acceptable these days? To give you a little bit of more backstory. So I am your traditional, like, regular ass, degular white girl from the United States. Marina has come, like, has an Albanian family, which they have a different culture. So her experience, I think, is a little bit different from mine. So it'll be interesting. So a couple of items that we really wanted to kind of hash out today. One of the first things we want to talk about is bridal showers. And since I've known Marina, what, like 2 years or so, you've been bridesmaid at least like 43 times.
About a million, yeah.
Yeah. So that would mean at least a million brides or like bridal showers, right? Yeah.
You know the movie, what is it, 27 Dresses?
Yeah.
That's basically me right now. So.
Always the bridesmaid, never the bride. Aw.
No, actually, thank God. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, so talk to me about bridal showers then and your experience with them, because I've only been to, I don't know, I mean, like, I must come from a different place because my, I haven't been to a lot of weddings.
No, it's okay. It's not even so much the bridal shower thing. It's more so just being a bridesmaid. Most recently, actually, I tweeted it. I'm retiring. I'm like, my parents can hang my bridesmaid dresses from the rafters because I am done. It's just, it's very time consuming and expensive. And that's, and it just kills me because it's so, I don't know. Every bridesmaid's dress I've had in the past couple years have cost me about $300, whether it's alterations are included or if that's the cost of the dress with alterations. I'm already short, so I know already I'm spending money on getting my dress altered. I think that's pretty crazy for a dress that I will literally never wear again. And any bride that tells you like, oh, you can totally wear the dress again, it's a complete lie.
They
no, you cannot.
Say that.
Yep.
Don't listen.
So that, and then it's like the cost of the hair, the makeup, your nails, you know, you want to look great. These photos are, you know, forever. Everyone's putting them all over social now. I strongly believe that I should be able to write this off my taxes. And I had a coworker tell me recently, because we were discussing the same thing, and she's like, absolutely. I mean, if they're getting married, they're going to start getting tax breaks. Why can't you as a bridesmaid? I was like, that's a great point.
So with every time that you're a bridesmaid, though, you're super involved in the whole wedding process, right? Like, you're expected to go to the bridal shower. You're expected to bring a gift. You're expected to bring a gift to the wedding. You're expect, right? All of that.
Yes and no. So a lot of the weddings I've stood up in have been Albanian weddings. So it's a little bit different for us. We don't typically do a bridal shower. But I've been attending a lot of weddings recently, too. And I will say there have been a lot of bridal showers, bachelorette parties, the whole shebang. And I think one of my biggest things is I don't understand why bridal showers even really exist anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Only because I get it. Back in the day, you had a wedding or a bridal shower. And the idea was like the bride and the groom who did not live together at the time, they're going to start this new life. You're going to buy them a new toaster.
Those are the things that you give them at the wedding, though.
I've always gave money. I feel like money in the card's a little bit more common. I don't know. But or do you give both? Like, do you have to give them a gift at the bridal shower and money at the wedding?
That's what I thought.
That's even more money.
I know. That's so what I'm like, I so don't
here,
know.
So here, let's say here scenario: you are a bridesmaid, and you go, you have to go to the bridal shower, buy a gift for the bridal shower, and usually, honestly, some of the registries I've seen in the past couple of years have been kind of ridiculous, because you're not seeing like a toaster and everything, because usually the bride and the groom today live together already, and they've been living together for how many years? They pretty much have everything they want and they need. So now I'm seeing things like, here's a really super expensive, high-end coffee maker, three of them. Like, really? Is it really necessary that you need three different types of coffee makers on your registry?
Basically, unless your ass is truly old-fashioned and you haven't lived together and you're doing this like the old-fashioned way, you don't need a freaking bridal shower. You wouldn't go that far or you don't, they don't know.
I really think they're necessary.
No bridal showers. You don't need no damn gifts. You already live together. You already got your damn toaster. Period. So,
yep.
Basically. I think it's just people get excited about the whole wedding process and they're like, oh, I want to have a bridal shower. I'm a bachelor. They want to do everything. But I think people get so caught up in the planning and making sure everything is perfect and make sure they get the gifts they want and everything that they miss the whole idea of like why you're doing this in the first place.
Absolutely. I also think it's almost, I don't want to say revenge, but before you get married, let's say hypothetically, you have to go through all of this. You have to go to the bachelorette party and the bridal shower. You have to be a bridesmaid. You have to deal with all that, spending money, traveling if it's a wedding or traveling for a bachelorette party, spending all the money on these gifts, having to deal with Bridezilla. So now when it's your time, oh, hell yeah. You know you're going to put everybody else through that too.
Yeah.
So I think it's like a never ending cycle.
So we have to stop the cycle, yes. You guys. It's so important. So, okay. So, moving, you know, you get married, then what comes next? Usually, you know, you have a baby after you get married. So something we had talked about was how many baby showers should a person have? Should they just have one, or if they have multiple? I mean, should they have a baby shower for every time they have a child? Like, what are, I've heard so many different things about people say, like, if you already have a kid, like, you should only just get a baby shower for your first kid. I have three kids. I had three baby showers, but I mean, I had my first kid really young, my second kid really young, and then the third kid was like kind of far apart from the first two kids, so I didn't have any more baby stuff. So for me, it made sense to have a baby shower. Now, if I were to have a baby now, I don't think, not that, no, but I'm just saying, I don't think I would want a baby shower because I'm like, I don't need it. If they wanted to just give me a gift, that would be cool, but I don't want to do all of that. I don't feel like it's necessary, you know?
I think typically it's supposed to be one. It's supposed to just be for the first. I wouldn't be surprised if people did more than one.
Oh, for sure.
I see people, even with their first, they'll have multiple baby showers, even bridal showers, where their friends will throw one, and then their mother-in-law will throw one, and then their mom will throw one for their friends. I don't understand why there just can't be one.
Yeah, so I had multiple baby showers for each baby. I had like two or three baby showers for each child, like one with my family, one with, you know, the dad's family, and then one at like work or school or whatever.
And well, those, like the work ones and everything, those tend to be kind of at the workplace. Like, I kind of get that.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. But nonetheless, I think at the end of the day, you know, a baby, and then
okay,
also
gender reveals. Sorry. Is that what you're going to say?
No, it wasn't.
I don't know. I don't understand it. Great. You're having a boy or a girl. It's one or the other always, right? Do you have to get a gift when you go to a gender reveal?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Because they throw a party. That's more money that they're spending to reveal.
This is true. But honestly, I think a lot of it has to do with social media. People just have to show out these days. Like, they just want a big thing that they can post about and like really cute pictures.
Absolutely.
They got to
take pictures of every holiday and dress up their cat or child. Like, St. Patrick's Day, let me put my kid in the little leprechaun outfit.
My daughter had a baby and I did a gender reveal for her, but it wasn't nothing too crazy. Okay, she really wanted one.
Ask you a question. So for your gender reveal, did your daughter know what it was, or was it a surprise to your daughter?
No, it was a surprise.
Exactly. So I had a friend way back when, and her sister did a gender reveal, but the sister already knew what the gender was. It was like a reveal for everybody
else. Oh, that's so whack. Sorry, but that's really whack.
I'm pretty sure that's not how it works. I'm pretty sure You're supposed to be surprised with everybody else.
I think that's how I think it should go if you're going to do it. And I think they're fun, but I don't think it should be an obligation to anyone in terms of like an expense or anything. It's just like, hey, it's a fun thing. It should be small. You know, if you want to do that and make it a big deal for the family, then cool. I think it's great to have things to be excited about and things to celebrate. Don't get me wrong, but it becomes an issue when it becomes an expense or an obligation for people.
I have a question. How do you feel about push gifts?
Because
that's
that
a
is.
Thing now. Oh, so basically after you push the baby out.
I'm like, as soon as I thought about it, I was like.
Your husband or the baby daddy is supposed to give you a gift for that. The gift is you're going to be helping me change your diapers. Like, that's what I would expect. And taking
your husband is supposed to give you a gift for pushing the baby out?
That's a thing now, yep.
I don't even know what to think about that. I want gifts, damn it. Like, my ex-husband, y'all listening to this, give me my shit. I need push gifts. No. Like,
I don't know. I feel like I wouldn't expect anything.
Like, what did they get? Did they get like ring, like diamond rings? Like, what's the gift?
I want to say, yeah, it could be jewelry, but I don't know. I feel like it's a newer cultural norm.
Oh, guys. Okay. But no, so the baby shower thing, what the hell was I going to say? A lot of people like just want a baby shower. So like they plan it themselves and they do. I think that traditionally, the baby shower was supposed to be put on by somebody that, you know, a friend or family or somebody who cared right. about you and was supposed to, you know, look out or whatever. So they put on a baby shower for you. It's not just like a party and a reason to get gifts, I don't think. I think, you know, if somebody is going to look out for you like that, then yeah. But it's not something you should be stressing yourself out about and trying to plan and make it really fancy and get for social clout, essentially, just to get pictures and right. likes. Yeah, so... the next thing we had, look, we have a whole list of things. So RSVPing.
Yes.
I know this is like a huge thing for you.
Because I don't know, just, okay, with all the weddings and all the different types of showers I've been having to attend lately, I'm just kind of dumbfounded at the way RSVPing works now. So traditionally, you get a invitation in the mail. And you get a little card and it's like RSVP by this date. So let's say I'm supposed to RSVP by July 30th. Lately, I've been getting invited to different types of events and I'll get an invitation and it has RSVP date. I'm like, okay, great. Probably not even a couple days after I get the invitation in the mail, I'll get text messages. Hey, so I sent you the invite. Do you think you can make it or not? Okay, I have like 2 weeks to decide if I want to go or not. And now I kind of don't want to go, but I don't understand. Like, do you not want me, like, well, why put the envelope? Why waste money on that stamp and send it to me if you're just going to text me?
Yeah. So people still send personalized, like, snail mail invitations these days?
For more of a fancier event, like a wedding, yes.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
For other not-so-fancy events, no, it's usually kind of like, hey, text or call so-and-so by this date. So but if you need to know ASAP, then don't put a date on there or put the date sooner.
So here's my thing. So as like a type A kind of like really planner type, you know, organized person, I totally understand when you're like, hey, are you coming? I need to know because I need to plan this and da, 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 and the sooner the better. And I'm looking at this. And so like, even though I said RSVP by this date, like right now is when I'm actually looking at buying this. And so I need to know how many people are going to be there. Like,
well, then make the RSVP date sooner.
I know, but you know, if you're just into it. So I get that. However, I feel like a lot of people these days especially have really bad RSVP etiquette. Like, motherfuckers do not.
Yeah, so
they
just
don't
up.
Do it. They'll just
they'll
show
bring
up.
Like three of their friends.
Yes. Yep. That shit irritates my soul. That
or they canceled the very last minute. Yeah.
Which also is like another thing. It's kind of like, I guess for planning purposes, it's better to have people not show than to show and bring extra people because then at least you know you have enough food and everything.
Right.
But at the same time, like saying that you're going to come and then not coming, I mean, that can be hurtful to people, especially if you're like, it's a graduation open house or it's something special to the person. Absolutely. I just feel like unless it's like a really important thing, like don't say you're going to come if you're not going to come, if you have no intention of coming, and don't say you're not going to come or not RSVP at all and then decide you're going to come and you're going to bring, you know, your uncle, brother, Susan, Frank, Mary, Joseph, whoever.
Actually, it's pretty wild because for Albanian weddings, we don't RSVP. We will send out invites and we'll say like, oh, you know, Amber and her family or Amber and just like two people. And we know that there's a rather large like fluctuation of how many people may come or not, because mm-hmm. people will bring extra family members or friends. Mm-hmm. And our weddings are pretty huge, like 500-700 people.
That's insane.
I know. So that's why we tend to go to like the same
halls.
Like,
how do we know that many people?
It's I don't know. Like, I don't know.
Like, if you were to get married, how many people would be on your guest list?
I have no idea. My brother had like 700.
That's insane.
But it's like, you have to invite like,
I barely like people seven people just in general. Like, I can't like,
I can't even imagine planning a wedding that big.
I can't even remember. You know my ass. I can't remember nobody's name. Imagine me trying to make 700 invitations.
Walking around to, like, all the tables, like, with your husband. Like, hey, who are you
again? I would have to have, like, you or someone, like, I trust to come with me. Be like, hey, who is this person?
Like in The Devil Wears Prada, where she has to, like, remember everybody and she has to tell her who she is.
That's me all day. So that was, like, that's me at work. I always have to have somebody to, like, tell me, hey, oh, my gosh. Side note. So do you remember when we had that meeting and somebody came into the meeting and they were, like, sitting there and they're just, we're, like, this person's waiting. And you and my other coworker looked at me like, you invited this person. And I'm like, I don't know what the hell they are.
I don't remember, but I believe that it happened.
Like, I don't know who the hell they are. And she had to say something. And I was like, oh, yeah, my bad. I just didn't put a face to a name. I'm like, I don't know why she's here. I figured you guys knew. Point being, I'm very bad with names. I couldn't invite 700 people because I wouldn't know 700 people's names. So, yeah, but that's nuts. So the RSVPing with... Obviously, Albanian families, you could be like, okay, Marina plus her family. And that could mean seven people or three people or however much that is.
Yep.
That's interesting. See, I would be very much like, okay, RSVP you and your guest. Or like, even when for my wedding, even it was like, okay, you and your guest. And like, if you're going to bring your kids, we really don't want kids. But if you have to bring them, please let us know. Right. And like, they need to be gone by a certain time.
Have the babysitter pick them up at 6.
Right. And some people are like that. Like, some people are like, no kids allowed. And I know, you know, for a lot of the events that I've been a part of in the past, it was like everybody had to allow kids because everybody had kids and nobody really had childcare. But now it's more like, you leave the kids at home or get a babysitter, do something or don't come. Like,
right.
It's not a kid friendly event. And I think too, before it was a lot more acceptable, like, to go to a wedding, get slammed or whatever, and have your kids there, and it was just like normal. And now it's like, oh my god, you were drinking and you had your kids there, and like, you guys were doing all of that in front of your kids. Like, it's so, people are so judging.
It's not like that for us.
No, okay.
People, they'll bring their kids, and there's never like a no kid policy thing. Mm-hmm. I feel like Albanians probably just like be up in arms about it, mm-hmm. if that ever was a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, there's 700 people, so.
So there's gonna be some kids. For sure. Okay, so I got the RSVP and thing now. So something else that we were talking about the other day when we were talking about doing this show. Because this, if you're a woman, as soon as I start to explain this, you're gonna know exactly what I'm talking about. So whether you're at work or if you're at a club or whatever, and you go into the woman's restroom, you ever walked into the stall and been like, what the fuck? Like, who are these? I always wonder, like, who the fuck are you going home to? Like, who married you? Who is your man? Like, why is this acceptable? Like, first, because let me tell you all of the things I've walked into. I've walked into, obviously, shit in the toilet, which is disgusting. Piss on a toilet. Like, how does that even happen? Like, you have a vagina. That motherfucker goes one way. Like, it's not like you have to aim it anywhere. Like, you just, like, even if you, like, are, you know, squatting over the toilet, it's still like a whole big ass bowl. Like, how are you managing to get that on the seat? I'm confused. So there's that. Obviously, during the cycle, like, women aren't always the most graceful, tactful people and don't take care of stuff. So it's nasties with that. But then also sometimes you walk into a stall and it, like, you don't see nothing, but you fucking smell something. And you're like,
what? And it's not poo.
And it's not poo.
I know. Amber, okay, so I've always wanted to write like a little book, like a little etiquette bathroom book for people and pass it out like the guys, like the old white guys would at like Wayne State. They would pass out these little green Bibles like every semester. Like, I always want to do that and pass out like little, learn how to use the bathroom book. Because it's just, it blows my mind. Like, it blows my mind that still today, I mean, it's 2018, there are signs on doors and there are signs on the mirror that says wash your hands, and people will still not wash their hands.
Oh,
even
my
at the
gosh.
Workplace. And I'm like, that's a pretty ballsy move that you're not going to wash your hands at your workplace.
So, speaking of social norms and etiquette, so when somebody walks out of the bathroom, without washing their hands at all, or if they, you know, do the little thing where they turn the water and they go and they just run it, they rinse their hands and then they just shake and run. Like, like, what do you say something? Do you not say something? What do you do?
You know what? I don't think I've ever encountered somebody outside the bathroom who has done that.
In the bathroom, though, I'm saying when you see them do that, and they're, well, I know you've seen, because I've seen people.
I don't know. I've never said anything. Yeah, no. I've never said anything because I'm like, you know what? That's your choice. It's your choice what you want to do.
No, fuck that. That's a public health risk.
I mean, if they were like about to go cook my food, then we're going to talk.
No, they're going to go touch the damn handle that you're about to touch.
See, that's the thing. So, and sometimes I'm like, okay, maybe they're not washing their hands. Maybe because they weren't using the bathroom. Maybe they're just like changing their top or something. But the dirtiest part in the stall is the door handle. So you should still wash your hands.
Yeah, so even if you don't use the bathroom, absolutely, you should still wash your hands.
I don't understand. And with the whole peeing in the toilet seat thing, I'm going to tell you why. So, because everyone's so afraid to sit in the toilet seat that they squat and they hover over it, completely missing, causing urine to be all over the toilet seat, which now is the reason why people are squatting, because they can't sit because somebody was squatting and then peed on the toilet seat. So people need to stop squatting. Use a little tissue thing, I make a little nest with toilet paper. Sit down for the love of God, because you're making a bigger mess. Even sometimes, like, okay, you know how there's like that hole in the front of the toilet seat? Yeah. I don't understand, like, sometimes I see things there and I'm like, what's coming out of people that it's like falling on here? Like, what is this? Are people not regularly showering? I don't understand.
Oh my God. And these are the females that go home to y'all men. I'm just saying, like, oh, I tell you, like, it makes me so happy. I don't know. But then I don't know what a man's bathroom looks like, so I can't say. But wait, you probably know, because you help your brother out of his restaurant. So I see that look on your face. I'm like, oh, shit.
Actually, no, it's not that bad. I've never had to deal with, like, urinals or anything. But even when I worked in retail, it was like a small little one-person bathroom. I would say usually the women's bathroom is a little bit worse.
Yeah, I think, I mean, but with men, I'm a little bit more understanding, because I'm like, okay,
I've seen, you don't aim well. In the men's bathroom, though. Like, once at my brother's workplace, at the restaurant, there was like a cup of pee behind the garbage can. Yeah. I mean, we later found out somebody was peeing for a friend.
Oh, shit.
To pass a test. So, and then I got tossed and they're like freaking out. So, yeah, I don't know. Weird things happen. I'm not really sure.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, so a while back, not too long ago, I was telling you how I went to the bathroom and in the building where I work, and I go in there and there's a woman, she's just moaning. And at first I'm like, okay, she's taking a really good, you know, beep. And she's like going on and on. I'm like, this is so uncomfortable. Maybe somebody's having sex in the stall next to me. I don't really know what's happening right now. So some people surprise me. But to top that off, I have a better story.
Wait, but what was she doing?
I don't know. I don't know. Like, knock, like, hello, what are you doing in there? You're having a good time, I see.
Good.
But a couple weeks ago, I went to a restaurant downtown, the one that you're not a real big fan of, the Dirty Silverware.
Oh, my God. I'm going to name it Calexico. That restaurant is garbage.
So
don't go there.
Listen. I had to go to the bathroom, right? And there's two stalls in the bathroom. And there's one door, right? And it's like, it says out of order. There's like another out of order sign, like on cardboard. I'm like, okay, this is janky, but whatever. So I open up the other stall. Unlocked, open it up. There's a woman in there sitting, counting money on the floor while sitting in the toilet. I swear, I'm like, she's like, someone's in here. I'm so confused.
Do you think she was like a waitress there, maybe counting her?
No. She wasn't.
Oh.
Because I seen her, I recognized her. She like came and I don't know. She might have been homeless, possibly. I don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
She had a lot of money on her, so maybe not.
She was collecting money from.
But I wouldn't count money. That's even gross. Like, I'm not going to count money in the bathroom floor. It's disgusting.
I mean,
I know money's disgusting already, but come on.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know. I think if you're just that at that point, like, it really doesn't matter. You're getting money, so either you got it from you pretending to be a bum on a street or a stripper or like whatever you're doing. Something. So it's already like whatever. You can get money.
I don't know, but I was like, all right, well then.
So this is
holding it in.
This is kind of off subject, but while we're on this topic, have you ever walked into the wrong bathroom. Do you remember?
I know you have, yeah.
You guys. So at work, and I've done this more than once, but this particular time, oh my gosh. So where we worked at, Quicken Loans, on the floor that we worked or whatever, there was one side where if you go, it's just the bathroom's on the right side, boom, boom, it's, or left side or whatever it was. But it's just like, that's the one I always went to. Well, we moved seats. Like, we moved to the other side or something.
No, it's on the opposite side of the building, the other part of the opposite floor.
So it's
the
flipped.
Bathrooms are switched. Yeah.
So, like, me, a lot of times I function on autopilot because I have, like, 50,000 things always going on. And so I rely on autopilot a lot, which is obviously a bad thing. So I'm operating on autopilot and I'm walking into the bathroom just thinking, like, automatically it's going to be where it always is when I always go on the other side. So I walk into the men's bathroom, not even thinking. I'm walking. I'm like, why are there men in the women's bathroom? Because that's my first fucking thought. Like, I couldn't have made a mistake. No, it has to be all of these men. So, and then I like look this dude dead ass in his eyes and I'm like, shit, I'm in the wrong bathroom. So I walk out and I hide. I like hurry up and I hit the corner and I just sit there and I hide for like a good 3 to 5 minutes. And I was just sitting there like, oh my God, oh my God. I have to wait until he leaves and walks and goes away before I can come out of my hiding place. The second I come out of my hiding place, we fucking run into each other in the hallway and lock eyes again. I'm like, oh my God.
I hope you run into him again.
Listen, his face was burned in my mind for a long time, but I've since forgotten it, thank goodness. That was pretty traumatic for me, though. I was like, oh my gosh. And then I almost did it again a couple times after that. But actually, I did it once before when I was a kid. I went to the skating rink with my cousins and they were older than me and they were like all cool or whatever and they were doing their own thing and they weren't really paying much attention to me. So I was kind of on my own and I had to go to the bathroom and I'm asking my cousin where it's at. And she's like, oh, it's over there. She's not really like helping me out. So I had to go figure it out. And you know, in skating rinks, at least the ones I've been to, the freaking bathroom doors are kind of like open. Mm-hmm. So it's not like
the
a
airport.
Yeah. So it's like there's not a big sign with it on the front of the door. It says women's or men's or whatever. So whatever, I went to the bathroom. There was stalls, so I sit in the stall, and I'm trying to use the bathroom, and then, like, the stall wasn't fully locked, and it comes open, and there's, like, boys walking in, and I'm like, oh, my God, and I'm, like, peeing, and I'm trying to hold the stall. It was, like, at that point when I was a good, you know, 7 years old, or 8 or 9 or whatever. It was, like, the most mortifying moment in my life. Anyways, we're going to go to break, and we have a song for you guys, and it's actually a really dope song. I like this song. I'm trying to get the name of the artist before we just play it. Just happened to come across it on a friend's like YouTube video or whatever. But the artist is, I want to say Elohin. His Instagram is ELOHINO7. So we're going to listen to that song now and we'll be back after the break. You're everything that I could want. No more going in circles, 'cause I got a lot that won't grow old. I was lost in myself, never finding myself.
Look into my eyes and my mind get close up. Televised lies got me trying but no luck. Lost in myself like two kids that broke up. Lost like change that's inside the sofa. Until I met you and it changed my focus. Always hold me down and that draws me closer. Love runs deep, kinda like an ocean. You love me, even when I'm bad with choices. I'm open, tell me how you feel. I'm hoping that we don't grow apart because I'm not holding on to the love that we have. I'm broken, I need you. Really think you should know this. And I'm just trying to understand my part so I can write a chapter in my life chronicle. It's undeniable, some say it's illogical. The joy that I get from you is so phenomenal.
Lost. sit back reminiscing on the day I met you. I was selfish on the grind to get through. About me, now it's all about you. I found something real, not fake like tofu. Never knew love till I got to know you. And when I'm stressed out, you the one I go to. Poetic like Shakespeare, words are so true. Intrinsic, you got my attention, I'm glued. Don't know what you're doing or even why you be doing it. Following all your clues, but haters say it's intuitive. Proving you really love, but manage to keep on proving it. Losing it when I'm distant, no separating the two of us. So if it's the two of us, I'm getting closer. This is personal, cause you love on purpose. Made me a better father, you made me a better husband. You made me a better me, you everything that I wasn't.
So again, that song was by Elohin, and you can follow him at ELOHIN07 on Instagram or Elohin fan page on Facebook. I hope y'all enjoyed it. So we're going to kind of jump right into a little bit more, I don't want to say relevant, but I'm sure you all would appreciate this, cell phone and social etiquette. So, like, everyone is on their cell phones 24/7 these days. Majority of people are on social. I think it's very frustrating because people don't all operate by the same rules or etiquette when it comes to cell phone etiquette. Like, I have my read risk to get on, right? So if somebody texts me, they're going to know if I read it. So if I don't respond, that means either... like, maybe, yeah, I, like, opened it and I got busy with something else or whatever. But if, I mean, chances are if I read it and I just don't respond, like.
Okay, honestly, I respect people who have their read receipts on because it's great. Because then I know, like, okay, Amber didn't read my text yet.
Yeah.
Or, okay, she read and, like, I see, like, the little dots and you're responding.
Mm-hmm.
But I can never do that.
I know.
So I, like, I really have respect and I appreciate people who do leave their read receipts on.
So I feel like I don't fully trust people who don't have their read receipt on. Like, why not?
So wait, you don't trust me?
I mean, not fully. I don't really fully trust anybody who doesn't have their read receipt on. Because I'm like, what are you hiding from? Like,
honestly, it's not even hiding. It's more so sometimes I will retext and I'm like, okay, I will respond and handle that later. Kind of like handling emails.
I wish you could flag text.
I wish you could flag text too.
Yes. Okay.
Because you know how many
Apple,
times,
if you're listening.
Yes.
Can we
because
flag
text? Do you know how many times I will, because I'll flag emails all the time.
For sure.
I'll read a text. I'm like, okay, great. Like, I can't respond to this right now.
Right.
Because I know sometimes it'll develop into a longer conversation or maybe I have to go and find out the answer.
So here's what I do. When I see those texts either by the person, I know I'm like, okay, I'm gonna need to look at this later. And so I won't even read it because I'm like, I need it unread because the notification will bother me and it will remind me to look at it.
Right.
Or if I know it's gonna be like just by the first line, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna need some.
I know, but sometimes the first line's tricky.
I know.
Because they send you multiple texts and the last
sneaky. Sneaky. Yeah. So, but no, I just, like I said, I don't fully trust people who have the read-receipt on. I just feel like, yo, keep it real. Like, if you read my shit and you ain't want to respond, then it is what it is. Because I don't like the fact that you could read my shit and then 3 hours later, like, no. I don't know. It's just my thing. But having said that, so you text somebody. They don't have the read-receipt on because they ain't real. You know, they can't be trusted. I'm just playing. Then you get on Instagram or whatever and you go to your messenger and you see this motherfucker was just online 2 seconds ago. And you're
you see like he just liked like three photos when you what your friends or whatever.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So what do you do? Like, what is the proper way to handle that?
Snapchat.
But what if they don't have Snap? Shouldn't you just
send them a direct message on Instagram?
Because
if they open it, then they know you could see that they read it and opened it. And they're like, oh, crap, now I got to text Amber back.
Yeah, and then maybe they just don't open it and they're just ghosting you, which is another thing. Yeah. It's a whole other thing.
That is a whole different.
Ghosting.
Okay, before we get into the ghosting.
Okay.
Text messaging.
Yes.
Everybody does it. And we all know it's a game. And everyone's addicted to it. The whole like, so-and-so didn't respond to me for an hour. So now I'm not going to respond for two hours.
Oh my God.
Do you play that game?
Okay. No, I have. I have done that. But my thing is more like, if you don't hit me up, I'm not hitting you up. Like, I've really struggled with this a lot. Like, I've had friends get super pissed at me and people, you know, I've dated, been like, you never, if I don't hit you up, I'm never going to talk to you. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. But it's just like, I don't know. I don't like bothering people. I'm like, hey, if you don't hit me up, I figured I'm not on your mind. You're busy, whatever it is. So I'm not going to holler at you unless I have a specific reason to get at you. But I'm not going to hit you with the, hey, what are you doing? Like, I hate that shit. No, I don't care.
Okay, but what
doing.
If your friends are the same way? Then you guys never hit each other up, then you're never hanging out.
I know.
And this then you only communicate via Facebook, which is basically everybody now.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people that I consider friends, if I really, really, really think about it, I'm like, would I really call them a friend? I feel like they're like a Facebook friend at this
but
point.
But I think some people, you just have to meet them where they are and you just have to accept, you know, for who they were. I think, you know, I'm terrible at it. Like, I really can't. I try to be better at it, but it's just one of them things where, like, I really have had fallouts with friends over this. They get pissed off. Like, yo, you haven't hit me up. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, I thought I did, but apparently it wasn't enough. And now you're mad. And, like, I don't know how to do more than that because, for me, this is comfortable. And I feel like I don't have a reason to hit you up. It's not like, hey, are we still on for dinner at 7? Or, like, did you get that thing? Like, no, I have zero reasons to hit you up. Like, I don't know. For me, it's weird to reach out and say to somebody, like, what are you doing? Or, like, where are you at? Or whatever. I mean, I guess I could say, like, how are you? And I do that sometimes because I'm getting better. I'm working on myself. But
I think texting people just to see how they are. Like, hey, thinking about you. How are things going?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But the game of, like, not responding because they didn't respond, that's kind of bullshit. Like, dude, just respond. Because I think people don't want to seem, like, too eager. I can't text back right away because that means they're going to think that I have my phone in my hand. Motherfucker, I know you got your phone in your hand because everybody has their phone in their hand all the time these days, period. My cousin does that to me all the time. Like, if I don't answer her phone right away, she's like, I know you have your phone in your hand. I'm like, you know what? Sometimes I take a nap or, like,
well, people,
you know, a shower or something.
Live like this when they're out to eat, when they're driving, unfortunately, at work. They're like this. This is actually really nice. I should get the iPhone 10. They're always. It's always there. Actually, I turn off a lot of my notifications.
I do too.
I don't like being disturbed because it can get really distracting, especially at work.
The only notifications I get are text messages, yes, phone calls, and work emails. And the only reason I get work emails is because I just feel like in case there's anything urgent,
right.
I don't pay much attention to them. Like, I'll see them and then I'm like, oh, it's a work email. I see the first line and I'm like, if it doesn't look, I don't even open it or pay attention to it because I want to make sure I can give it the, you know, necessary time and attention when I have the time to give to it. But that's it. I don't get no social media notification, or if they come in, they're like the little icon, but they don't make any noises or anything because I don't need to be notified every time.
And people, they have to have their notifications on because you ever notice like the same person's like always the first one to open up your Snap, the first person like your Facebook. You're like, you are on there all day, all day.
Yeah.
I don't know. I even mute group texts.
I hate
chats
group texts
because they will just blow up your phone.
Like, people know not to group text me because I hate them with a passion. Oh,
good to
my
know.
Gosh.
I'm gonna add you to every group text I have.
I will literally kill you. I hate them. Even like our when we had the group thing that we had,
like from work and stuff.
Yeah, I hated that because they're like, oh, haha, LOL. I don't shut up. I don't care about your LOL.
Yeah, another GIF and another GIF. Yeah,
I know. I hated that.
I honestly believe that, like, in the past year, the three best decisions I've ever made have been getting my eye surgery.
Hey, wait. Can we talk about that for a real quick second? So, like, I'm not paid sponsor or nothing, but I just had LASIK on Friday, and I got it done at LASIK Plus with Dr. Adelson and Warren, and I can see 2015, and it's only been a couple of days. So if you're considering LASIK, I've already tried to convince, like, two different people
best decision.
To get it.
My biggest regret is not doing it sooner.
Thank you. Yes. Yep. I was like, I had to text Marina the other day before and I was like, I haven't told anybody I'm getting it done, but I'm freaking out. She was like, you're good. And I was good. It was easy. It was so easy. Yep. And now I can see, and it's so amazing to be able to like wake up and just see. You don't have to worry about contacts, glasses. You just see. You go to bed, you see. Listen, I have a beautiful view from my house, and I have like, I thought it was beautiful before I could see. Now that I can see, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's even prettier now that I can see everything. So shout out to LASIK surgery and medical technological advances and all that good stuff. Anyways, go ahead. What were you saying?
What was I saying? Oh, best decisions. Okay.
Yeah.
So getting my eye surgery, correction. New job, new career path.
Hey.
And then out of the one thing that surpasses those two, did I say that right? Whatever. muting group chats and turning off notifications. Life changer.
And which you deleted your Facebook too, right?
Yeah, that was because there's a certain person that got elected and I didn't want to deal. I don't want to see people from either side just complaining all day on Facebook. But it just drains you.
So like I've become over the past years, I've been trying to like build this brand. I consider myself, and I say this, like I'm a producer, not a consumer. So I put shit on social, but I'm really not checking with y'all. Like I try to just to make sure that I'm like supporting my friends and family and I'll like their stuff or whatever. But I'm really not. Like consuming social media. I don't explore on Instagram, which it might be good for branding, but I literally, and it's crazy because social media has made kind of my career and my living. I fucking hate social media.
No,
I hate it with a passion. Okay. Like I cannot wait till I get to a point, which I hope I'm close to, where I can just go off the grid in terms of social, and I hate it.
I wonder if it's like being burnt out. You know, we've had it for so long.
We've
like
had it
for so long. Our generation, right?
Well, yeah, and because it was my career, too. It's so
like, it's like you go in, you serve food all day or you're a cook. Last thing you want to do is go home and cook, right? So everyone's like, how are you working social and you're not on Facebook? Because I'm on it all day. The last thing I want to do is go on it when I'm not at work.
And I think it was like a triple threat because not only am I working in, I made my career out of it, and then like, I do it for personal reasons, but then I do it for like extracurricular reasons. Like, oh, I want to build a brand on social media and like promote a podcast. And I want to do like freelance social media consulting. And so I'm like super, 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 super doing it. And now I just hate it. And now I just like, I need somebody to manage my social media because I want to get off.
I think people get burned out.
Yeah, I think I'm burned out.
But
I think it fucks you up, honestly. Like, I think.
Oh, no, there's like a million studies that prove that.
In 10 years, there's going to be so many fucked up people. Like, seriously, because so I watched this video today, actually, somebody shared. It's like, oh, this girl, she's so beautiful. And she has like within a minute, you know, 5 minutes of posting, she gets hundreds of likes and she has the greatest life and blah, 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 blah. And it was just like, you know, a video of her like living her life and getting all these social media engagements and, you know, going to events and looking gorgeous and all of this. But like then she would go home and be alone and be depressed and be drinking. And I'm like, that's real shit. Like.
Everything on social is fake. You ever go out with a group of friends? Okay, so speaking back to the etiquette thing. So you go out with your friends and it's like, everyone take a photo. Yeah, we're having fun. And then everyone just scatters and on their phone the whole time. Oh, really? Are you really up in the club having a great time? Mm-hmm. No, you're on your phone.
So yeah. So I still do post a lot on social, but I've made it a point to be in the moment so much more, which.
Right.
My family, I think, would have appreciated this a couple years ago when I was trying to build everything. And like, I was always on and I was like, no, I got to post this. I got to do this. And it was so important.
I got to check in everywhere I go.
Absolutely. And now I'm just like, no, what I'm doing is more important. Like, I'll put my phone down. I mean, I am on my phone still a lot. Don't get me. I know because people listening are probably like, bitch, please. But no, but seriously.
Well, that's because our phone is basically our mini assistant.
Right.
Like, I track my water intake on my phone.
I literally do everything GPS. On my phone. GPS, I track everything, like social work.
I don't know. Everything
is on my phone.
I just feel like when people go on vacations now, they're not really actually going on vacation to experience what they're doing or where they're going. It's a very expensive photo shoot. That's what vacations
are
now.
I'm totally guilty of that. I'm all about, but here's the thing. So my thing isn't so much is like, I've always loved photography and taking pictures. Even as a kid, like I used my money that I would get or earn to buy disposable cameras and take pictures. And I'd use the money to like develop the film.
Different.
And so now I like am out and about and I'm like, oh, this would be such a good picture. I'm like, do you want me to take a picture of you or can you take a picture of me? Because this would be such a cute picture. And people are probably like, but you know, like, why? But I'm just like, it's a good picture opportunity. And then I'm like, I can't print out billions of pictures. So I'm just going to put it on Facebook or whatever.
And I get that. But I feel like there's a lot of people who just take photos and like, oh, I'm in front of this famous building.
Yeah.
because I'm so great.
Yeah. I mean, I'm guilty.
In my really super cute outfit.
I've done that sometimes. Like, well, because when I travel, I'm like, hey, look at me in front of, like, when I went to the.
Yeah, but think of how it was back in the day. Like, somebody would have a Facebook album and there's like 30,000 photos from their vacation. And you're like, okay, obviously I'm not going to go through all of this.
Yeah.
No, but now on Instagram, like it's like, it has to be the most perfect photo with the perfect filter. Like, there was a thing, and I don't know if it's still happening, where Instagram was going to have. Like best places, like the most Instagram worthy spots to take your photo in front of. So like if you were to go and travel.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But it makes sense. Cause people do. And like I've seen people, and again, I'm guilty too. You go out to eat and you have to like arrange your food and you arrange the background and you get everything set up and then you try to make sure the lighting is just right and then the angle and you take that perfect like food photo.
Yep.
Seriously? But I've done it, so.
We've all done it. We're all guilty.
No, but seriously, I do think that it is bad etiquette. Like, and I don't know if it's, like, with age or if it's with burnout or what, but I do think that when you're with people, like, it is incredibly rude to have your face in your phone. And I'm so guilty, so, like.
Time. Yes.
I got to continue. No, listen.
Why are we even out? Why are we out to dinner if you're going to be on your phone? Like,
exactly.
I don't.
But I know me and you literally have done it. We've literally been sitting out, like, out to lunch and we're both our face in our
phone.
At
that point, it's like, I just want to break from everything. So let's
But we're
just
here together and together. It's fine. We're just both on our phones. I mean.
Wait, did you ever watch Black Mirror, the TV show?
No. Enough?
Okay.
No,
you need to watch Black Mirror on Netflix.
Okay.
Okay. There's this one episode and I don't remember the name of it, but. Basically, it's kind of like an Instagram-y situation where you're being ranked, right? Like how many stars you get, like 5 stars. And it really affects you economically and in society, like your job, your love life, everything. Mm-hmm. Like you need to have 4.7 stars to live in this community. Or you need, or if you're like under 3 stars.
It's called Black Mirror.
Yes. Every episode is very different though. And that's just one of them. I'm not going to get
really
to it, but I think you need to watch it.
That sounds interesting. I wish that we could rate people. No, oh my God. You know what would be
there is
so
a website,
cool?
There is a website that you can rate people. There's a thing.
What is it?
I don't know. I don't know the name, but like.
I feel like you do.
No, I swear.
Like, why are you withholding this from me, Marina?
Because I remember somebody was searching somebody and then they found this like rating website and it's like all this information about the person.
I always thought it would be super dope if you could give like Yelp reviews for dates. Like. Wouldn't that be cool if people Tinder or like Bumble or whatever profile, like you could rate them like, the first date was really shitty. Like he took me to a cigar
Steve
bar.
And it was like 1 star.
I think that you should totally be able to rate people because people in general kind of suck. Like I feel like I need to know this in advance.
Then like people would just end up being even more fake. I don't know.
You can't, but you can't fake it, though, because I'm like. That's like just like, okay, yeah, so companies try to pretend.
Like, I hate Yelp. Like, I think it's, they're shady. I'm not even into that. Like, if you pay and invest money into Yelp as a small business, they will help your reviews look better.
I've learned some things.
But people, they usually go and they leave a review when they're so angry and just like in the moment.
Yeah.
I have a question. Okay, you know how you always have like the crazy, like middle-aged soccer mom named like Susan or Karen who's like complaining about their coupon or their whatever, their food's not right. Do you think it's an age thing? Do you think like we're just gonna end up
do you
being
think
right
when we get older we're gonna be
I don't know, because like we hate it, right? Working like when you're younger and you're working in the industry. Or do you think it's just like it's gonna happen, like menopause, you're just gonna be a bitch?
Maybe it's a combination of things. I would like to think that maybe I was that person before. I don't think I am anymore. I think that you probably, as you become older, you just become jaded and realize how shitty everything is. And then you're just like, fuck everything. And you're just an asshole.
I want my $1 off coupon.
Yeah. My kids will tell you that was me all day. I was Susan all day. Like, I was like, no, I have $1 off. No, I don't care if it expired yesterday. The lady said she would, and I would, hold up a whole line for 25 minutes to get my dollar off. That was me. I apologize to everyone for that. I'm better now,
holding
I
up
promise.
The line and...
I promise I'm better now. But no, I think that we have a long way to come in terms of social norms and etiquette, especially when it comes to like cell phone uses and social media. And I think that the more digital we become, the less, the more removed from society and from manners and from what's the word I'm looking for? Humanity? Humanization?
Sure.
Whatever
that sounds right, like, to me.
Yeah, humanization. We become more removed from humanization, and so we don't know how to treat people. We don't know how to, you know, be grateful for things. We expect a bridal shower with a ton of fucking crazy gifts, and we expect all these extra parties and
that it really is
all of that stuff. And we do it, but like we were talking about earlier, but it all goes back to social. We all want to do it so we can post it on social so everybody can like it. So real quick question. So like, how do you feel about on social? Obviously for business purposes, like we both know engagement is huge. You have to respond and like all that stuff.
Do but I worry like, about how many likes I get on my photo?
Like, no, oh. But like if somebody doesn't like, if you like, like you like somebody's picture, but they don't like it back and you're like, fuck that. I'm not liking their picture.
Okay. We're all going to be completely honest. We all look. Whether it's for a very specific person who is looking at our snaps, who is liking our photos, everybody does it.
I don't know I don't know that I'm looking for anybody specific.
Or some.
I know, okay, I have my stories. Sometimes, like I've been checking. Like
if you're talking to, let's say, a guy or something, you're going to see that so and so look at my snap.
Yeah.
Or did so and so see this beautiful selfie of myself that I just posted?
And then they don't like it. And you're like, oh, they didn't like my stuff. I'm not about to like their stuff.
It causes drama. They're like, oh my God, Amber, you did not post a whole collage of me for my birthday and said how great and wonderful I am and happy birthday to
me. Or like, how dare you text me happy birthday and not like put it on social so everyone else could see. What?
It happens.
What? This world is really scary.
If we validate our relationships off of how people respond and engage with us on social, and it's really sad.
It is really sad, you guys. We have to change. This is dire. This is like...
Actually, you should quote me on that because that sounds great. We validate our relationship. I'll say it again.
All right, so we're about to wrap up. Marina, I want to give you the opportunity, if you want anybody to be able to find you on social. I haven't really tagged you in a lot of stuff because I know you're funny about that. So if you want anybody to be able to follow you or find you or anything, you can shout that out now. If not, you'll just remain the mysterious Marina.
I mean, even if I told them my username, I'd have to like spell it out for them.
I mean, that's okay. It's not long. We have time.
I mean, if you want to follow me, it's kind of boring. There's not really much on there.
Her stuff is dope. Go ahead.
On Instagram, like I post once every month.
This is true.
At symbol J, no, oh my God, I don't even know my own username. GJEKAJ.
That's it? Just
it's my last name.
That's just your Instagram. Last name? Hmm? You don't have the M or nothing?
Nope.
That's why I couldn't find you to tag you. I was like, M Marina.
It's been 2 years, Amber. You should know that. It's okay. You don't remember names. I forgive
I'm bad.
You.
I'm terrible. So obviously follow at 30, 30 and Thriving No G on Instagram, or the best Amber, T-H-E-E, best Amber on Instagram, or Amber Boone on Facebook. And then also subscribe. Make sure that you subscribe to the podcast. We're iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, Podcast Detroit, everything. Thank you.
Ayo, ambitious, the go-getters that handle business, the up and rising. This is
30, 30 and Thriving.
The motivation, the dedication, the inspiration. This is
30, 30 and Thriving.
Entrepreneur, making her own moves, making her own rules. This is
30, 30 and Thriving.
Yeah, a little sexy, cool, with Amber Boone. This is
30, 30 and Thriving.